from BBC Radio Merseyside. What was Hitler's first name? Contestant, Heil.
Hello and welcome to Worst Foot Forward, where we celebrate the best of the worst. I'm Barry McStay, and each week I, my co-host and our guest propose our candidates for the title of the world's worst something. The moment is here. Your next question is for the fabulous grand prize. You have no lifelines. There is no audience to ask. We have seen our SoundCloud stats. You have no friends to phone. We know our listeners are not the sociable types. You have only your wits as you face this burning question. Who is my co-host? Is it A, the first letter of the alphabet? B, a B? C, the Mediterranean? D, my friend Deirdre? E, an ecstasy tablet? F, ing and blinding? G, Officer Krupke? H, from Steps? I, Claudius? J, Leno? K, C and the Sunshine Band? L, L. Cool J. M, as played by Judi Dench. N, e chance this bit will end soon. O, here he is. Thank God, it's Ben Vandervelde.
Oh, thank God we didn't go through the old alphabet. I was waiting for you to get to Z and then go Alpha, Papa, Beta, Gamma,
Colon, yeah. Ampersand.
Yeah, I've never been a winning answer on anything, but it's lovely as I, which is a
have
weird...
you been a losing answer? Computer takeaway, two wrong answers, leaving the right answer and Ben.
No, because this happens if you are lucky enough to work in performance. I've got mates who I started doing comedy with. And I'll see them getting tweets with people just going, you were a winning answer on Pointless this week.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Those are the lofty heights to which I hope to aspire.
It's good to have goals in life.
Listen, we've talked about quizzing, and we may be losing answers, but we have quizzing royalty with us today.
Hell to the yeah.
Hell to the yeah. Our guest this week lives in the delightful city of Cambridge, and the even more delightful county of Cambridgeshire. She once came third in a competition to guess the weight of a nun on a bicycle. Her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was Dick Turpin's brother. Her nickname is, amongst her family, is Gluttonous Lid. But far more importantly than all of that biographical information that I have clearly lifted from Victoria Corran's autocue, she was part of the team that were Series 13 champions on the BBC's hardest quiz, Only Connect, and we are touching our forelocks and touching our brows to the ground in the presence of Lydia Mizon. Hello, Lydia.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited, listeners.
You've still made me sound really good, even though that's basically the only good thing I've done in my entire life.
It's a really good thing to do, though.
It is. I've peaked.
I feel like, I know very little else about you, but I feel like you're the quizzing equivalent of a qualifier who wins the World Snooker Championship and then does nothing else for the rest of their life.
Yeah, that's probably going to be how it is.
Oh, you accidentally beat Steve Davis. Well done.
Well, you know.
The best thing about, if people haven't watched Only Connect as well, it's a really difficult quiz. Mm-hmm. Listeners overseas won't know it. Even if you're in the UK, you might not have seen it. It is University Challenge plus Mastermind with a hint of Brain of Britain.
Well, personally, I'm terrible at University Challenge. Mm. So I find Only Connect much easier. So people that come on and say, I could never do Only Connect. I can't do University Challenge. I get maybe one or two questions right, normally by guessing. Mm. But I think I've just got the kind of brain that works for Only Connect. So I think I was not lucky. But
you had a good team around you.
I had an excellent team around me. And I was the captain because that meant I got to do all the talking.
Yeah.
So when it looked like I knew the answer. Somebody else knew the answer.
Your team were the Escapologists, isn't that right? You're big fans of escape rooms, as are
yes.
We. We are yes. Regular escape room players as well. I think we should give our listeners some context for Only Connect and ask Ben some Only Connect questions.
Holy Christ.
So the way Only Connect
only
works,
after we've done that, just to let you know, Lydia, this is also an escape room podcast.
It's Ben's job to get out of this with his dignity intact. Listeners, Only Connect is formed on making the connections between generally four random clues, and you get more points the sooner you can get the connection. If you can figure out what a connection might be from just the first clue, then obviously you're a genius. Ben, we'll ease you in here.
Thanks.
All right. I'm just going to give you... you can say stop at any point if you know what the connection between these is. I'll obviously...
Stop! They're all questions I don't know the answer to.
Well, you don't know that.
What connects these? Carpet...
Stop. They're all worlds.
No.
Carpet world.
Yo, good guess, though.
Thank you. Just so you know, listeners, I got a nod from Lydia in the way that a grandmaster chess player might look at an apprentice who hasn't just shoved a pawn up their nose.
I admire the gambling spirit, but thank carpet you. World is not the...
Okay, onwards
the next clue. Carpet's the first one. Roundabout. Oh, Lydia's got it. Lydia's
I'm not
got
gonna,
it.
I'm not, no.
The third one is eight ball.
I mean, types of pool?
Lydia's looking at you so pityingly now, it's really sad. Yeah. And lantern is the fourth one.
Green things.
No. Go on, Lydia.
They're magic.
Magic. Magic carpet, magic roundabout, magic eight ball, magic lantern.
Of course they are.
All right, here's a harder one for you, Ben.
Great.
Goran Ivanisevic.
Oh my God, this might fit in perfectly with what we were just talking about.
Qualifiers
before.
Winning.
Qualifiers. Are they qualifiers winning a tournament?
Well, the next clue is United Arab Emirates, so probably not. Okay. This is literally one of my favourite Only Connect questions ever because of how stupidly difficult and brilliant it is.
Well, I was about to say, would it be someone who... a person or a team who, when they won a thing, took all of their clothes off to celebrate? But that's not really on brand with the UAE, is it?
No. It's very much anti their manifesto.
Yeah, and the third clue is unimaginative, so again.
Well, the third clue is literally the word unimaginative.
Yeah.
So Goran Ivanisevic, the UAE, unimaginative, and...
Verisimilitude.
Stop.
Go on.
Are they all titles of teenage fan club songs? Because no. The last one is...
No, sadly not. As I think an Only Connect pro like Lydia would say, generally when it's a person, a place, and some random words, it's probably a word
the
connection.
Word one. Yeah.
Goran Ivanisevic, United Arab Emirates, unimaginative, and verisimilitude all alternate consonants and vowels.
Oh, come on! Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this TV show is for psychopaths. There's no two ways about it. Hello, Lydia.
I'll give you one more.
Okay.
One last one. Second female Nobel laureate in science. Second clue is leader of second Labour government.
Yeah. Wasn't Ramsay MacDonald. No, it was Clement Attlee.
It was
Ramsay MacDonald. Yeah. Oh, are they shops that you'd find on a high street?
McDonald's and Curie, Marie Curie. That's
excellent.
Very good. That's a good
wrong.
Guess.
Thank you.
That's really
wrong.
Thanks, Lydia. You've really summed up my path through life.
Yeah.
Excellent but wrong.
Excellent but
really
wrong.
Good,
yeah, well, the third one is second Super Bowl winners. And the fourth one, you might get it from this, is second rule of Fight Club.
No, the first rule is you don't talk about Fight Club.
What's the second rule of Fight Club?
No shirts, no shoes. No, that's like the seventh. I don't know.
The second rule of Fight Club is that you don't talk about Fight Club.
I thought the first rule of Fight Club
both
was
you don't. The first rule of Fight Club
is
you don't
talk about
Fight Club.
Oh, fuck, of course it is. We've broken that rule so many times.
And Marie Curie was the second female Nobel laureate in science as well as the first. And Ramsay
yes.
MacDonald led the first Labour government as
yes.
well as the second.
And we've all now just been kicked out of Fight Club. So.
Only Connect is now 13 series old. In the early days, it's sort of the board you would choose your questions from had Greek letters, so alpha, mm-hmm. beta, gamma, all of that, and there's six of them. You'd pick whichever Greek letter you wanted. Your question would be hidden behind that one. And I think it was in series three or series four, Victoria opened the first episode by saying, we've had some complaints from listeners who say that the show is a little bit too highbrow and that the Greek letters are a little bit stuffy, so we've decided to make it a little bit more accessible. Teams, please choose your Egyptian hieroglyphs.
It's just astonishing shade throwing, isn't
yeah.
it? Throwing shade from the sun god Ra coming down.
We know you're brilliant at Only Connect, Lydia. What would you say you are worst at in the world?
So I've got a runner-up and a real worst
oh,
one.
Nice.
So I am the runner-up. I'm very bad at copying people's accents. I spent a year in America as part of my degree, and I came back and my mum was like, why are you talking like them? And I was like, I'm not, mum, shut up. And I also used to work in very close proximity to a Geordie guy and was out for dinner with a friend one night, and she was like, why did you say that in Geordie? And I was like, I can't do a Geordie accent anymore. I've got no idea even what it is. Couldn't tell you what it is now.
Go on, do it for Ben. Go on.
No, We used to make fun of racism a lot. But I'm bad. Like, if I do it, so I was slightly worried with, like, an Irish person.
Yeah, with an Irish man and a Geordie here, you're really
like, going to be offensive.
Treading a fine line.
So I'm going to try not to do that. But what I'm absolutely worst in the world at is remembering jokes. So I can remember two jokes, both of which are so bad they barely even qualify. One is a joke my brother told to me when I was 9, which is, why did the monkey fall out of the tree? Because it was dead.
Classic.
No good.
Classic.
And the other one is that old classic, what did the 0 say to the 8, nice belt? Those are the two jokes I've got.
What I don't understand, what proves that you're rubbish at remembering jokes is that monkey joke is part of a series of monkey jokes.
Yes.
Why did the second monkey fall out of the tree?
Because I waved to him as one of them.
Why did the third monkey fall out of the tree?
Because it's hanging onto the second. Yes.
It was tied to the first monkey. Why did the fourth monkey fall out of the tree? Because he thought it was a game.
That's both excellent and terrible.
I think we've discovered that you are the anti-Ben. You're good at only connect. You can't remember jokes. Yeah. And your Geordie accent is terrible.
Oh, I mean, does that mean if we touch
if you
fingers,
touch each other, the
universe
ends?
Yeah.
This week on the show, we are with Lydia, of course. We were talking about the world's worst quiz contestants as avid. I don't know. Did you watch a lot of quizzes when you were growing up?
I watched a fair amount of quizzes. I watched a lot of Blockbusters. Which was great. I enjoyed a lot of Catchphrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone did Say What You See. Say What You See with Roy Walker.
And also the other Irish great of quizzing was Going for Gold.
Oh, yeah, with thingy.
Henry Kelly,
yeah.
Obviously a quiz that after March 2019 wouldn't even be conceivable in this country. It would be banned. Hateful propaganda.
Do you think if Henry Kelly had brought back Going for Gold in 2016, Brexit wouldn't have happened, or would it have just speeded the process?
I don't know, it depends who won it.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, that's an alternative timeline I'd love to live on.
I enjoyed coming home, particularly my granny who lived next door to my parents, if she was collecting us after school, we'd go back to hers, and we'd watch Channel 4, you'd have 15 to 1, followed by Countdown in the afternoon.
I genuinely remember where I was when Richard Whiteley died.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do as well, actually.
I was at my friend's house in Torquay at the end of my first year of uni.
One
of those things you don't realise how sad you'll be until it happens.
I was on holidays in Portugal, I think, and I remember it now.
Yeah. What were you, Ben? Nerd's JFK moment. Yeah.
Ben was in Dallas. In a book depository. The assassination of Richard Whiteley coming to the Edinburgh Fringe in 2019.
That's an amazing show title.
Bang!
Great Blockbusters trivia. If you're for comedy fans, proper sort of like British comedy fans, Daniel Kitson, who is obviously the comedian, he appeared on an episode of Blockbusters when he was a student. Bob Holness, the presenter of it, actually says to him, "So what do you want to do, Daniel?" And he says, I think I'll be a comedian, and I think I'll be a maverick as well. And you see Bob Holness just go, well, yep, good luck with that. And I don't think he wins. Obviously, while we're mentioning Bob Holness, you all know the excellent fact about Bob Holness, don't you?
Second actor to ever play James Bond.
First actor.
After Barry Nelson.
Oh, look at you with your trump card. Who's Barry Nelson?
Barry Nelson, he was in a TV special of Casino Royale, but... In 54, Bob Holness did it in 55
on the radio.
Yeah, but yes, he was Bond before Connery and Moore and anyone else. I'll have a PPK, please, Bob.
Excellent. So before I sort of start drilling down into various quiz contestants, I'm just going to read out three exchanges to you from three different quiz shows.
I'm so glad. We've probably both looked at similar pages.
So firstly, from The Weakest Link. Adam Robinson says to a contestant, in the Lord's Prayer, what word beginning with H, meaning blessed, comes before be thy name? And the contestant says, Howard.
Howard be thy name. Howard the God.
Yes, because God is the neighbour that you see flicking looks at your mum over the fence from time to time.
God is that guy from the Halifax ads.
Yeah.
Only God could sort out your mortgage. Yeah. Try to buy a house, listeners. It's not fun.
From BBC Radio Merseyside, what was Hitler's first name? Contestant, Heil.
we're recording this before your baby is born, Ben. Heil Vandervelde.
Heil Vandervelde.
It's strong.
It is strong.
Heil... I'd like to say it's not strong.
No, no. Okay, yeah.
Do not call your child Heil.
Yeah. Heil Excelsior Vanderveld. I mean, Heil Vanderveld is a baby that has a worrying coat of arms.
Yeah.
Just golden eagles with curly whirlies and a skull cap. And then
from, I'm from mixed heritage.
From the, yeah. Jewish Nazi. And then from James O'Brien's LBC show. So, your final question. How many kings of England have been called Henry? And the illustrator says, well, I only know Henry VIII, so three? There is also the Wheel of Fortune contestant who had almost all of the letters. There's been a few of these, almost all of the letters. And instead of saying flamenco dance lessons, instead went for flamingo dance lessons, which is delightful.
There's a Wheel of Fortune clip. They did a special for members of the armed forces. And they had most of the letters at the start of the clip of Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa, who Americans will know are they were the big morning TV hosts. It would be like Richard and Judy or something back in the day. Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa. One of them had a go at Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa. One of them had a go at Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa. One of them had a go at Regis Philbin and Kelly Ripa. The entire board was full. There were like it's 2 minutes of sheer panic in the audience where you can feel the atmosphere going. These are servicemen. We can't laugh. They're wearing uniform. They probably don't watch TV in Afghanistan. It's brilliant. One of them has a go at spinning the wheel and bankrupts himself. It's so good.
My favourite ever Deal or No Deal, which is Deal or No Deal made it abroad to like America?
Yes.
Or
it started abroad. Oh, it started in the Netherlands, I think.
Yeah, good old Endemol.
Meghan Markle was a Deal or No Deal. Each box, instead of being held by a contestant, is held by a very glamorous lady with a suitcase with like glittering.
They do like big long walk in with them all holding them in very sort of sexy poses.
It gets a bit X Factor towards the end as well, because if they get down to sort of, you know, if there's a chance they could go in with like a dollar or like $100,000, like they get like they wheel out their grand and there's a VT with the grand going, I've never been so proud of you.
Oh, God.
And like, it's, oh, God. It's,
that was good, that accent.
Thanks.
Yes, you speak grand very well.
Yeah.
So Meghan.
Little did we know she was meant to be doing Geordie.
Yeah. that was so Meghan Markle was a box opening for Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
I imagine that's how Harry got her. Just like, that's what my living room looks like, Meghan. There's loads of boxes with bits of money inside of them.
You think when he proposed, he got down on one knee with a briefcase.
So Deal or No Deal. I remember watching one of the Christmas episodes and they were all in fancy dress. So there's a guy there, he gets down at the final box and it's something like 250,000 in one and a tenner in the other. And there's this guy dressed as Captain Jack Sparrow. And
immediately take some of the papers.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got hundreds of doubloons buried. Yeah.
And he was quite a camp guy from the northwest of England, I think. And he was talking about, I've got number 20 and you've got number 7. And my brother who died, who passed away. Number 7 was his lucky number.
No.
And I can just feel him looking down on me and saying,
he died, Captain Jack. He's not lucky.
Yeah, exactly. I can feel him saying to me, number 7. So I'm going to take the swap, Noel. And obviously, Noel Edmonds believes in all that numerology bullshit. And he builds it up. He goes, so.
Yeah.
And he says something like, so you decided to swap because you believed that your dead brother was looking down on you from the great beyond.
<That's> so bad.
And that he directed you towards, hopefully, Rip, the life-changing sum of money of £10.
Oh, no.
And it's like that episode of The Simpsons where you see Ralph Wiggum's heart break live on telly. And I have never laughed so hard on a piece of broadcasting.
I mean, if I was somebody's dead brother, I would do that for jokes.
What? Yeah, you would
again. Number 7.
I checked both the boxes.
Yeah, you just turn around and you like high five Beethoven. Got him again.
Doing the dickhead sign from beyond the grave.
But also, those people bring it on themselves.
Yeah, like, they do.
They know it's a 50-50 chance. They must know in their heart of hearts his dead brother's got fuck all to do with it. But still, they choose to believe that narrative. And so I've got myself.
And every day of the week, you should have taken the deal.
It's like, greed.
Next, let me tell you about Alberto. Alberto was a contestant on the Spanish show Ahora Caigo, which is an American version, a Spanish version of the American show Who's Still Standing?
Lydia's smiling. I've just read about this.
Already,
I haven't heard of this.
So he was asked the question, what is Steve Rogers in the Avengers? Is he a doctor, a sir, or a captain? Is Steve Rogers in the Avengers a doctor, a sir, or a captain?
Mm-hmm.
Not the easiest of questions if you're not a comic book fan. He answered a doctor, which would have been a 1 out of 3 blunder, were it not for the fact that he were wearing a Captain America t-shirt.
Oh, no.
Yup.
Oh, no.
And the blunder cost him more than $150,000 in prize money.
That's so bad. I think that is 70 odd episodes in bed. I think that is my favourite story you've ever told.
He then proceeded to propose to his girlfriend on camera.
No.
And I don't know whether he was planning to do it not already, or whether he was just going, I have tremendously fucked up, so I'm just going
to save the room.
Yeah.
Tell me she said no.
I can only presume that she didn't.
I think she said yes. Yeah, I read this as well, but like, I mean, you would, wouldn't you, just to save his feelings, and then later you go, well, we could have had a nice wedding, couldn't we?
Yeah.
So I didn't know about this. Obviously, so quiz shows really came into their own in the 1950s in America, because that's when TVs became popular and all that sort of jazz.
But also there was the Supreme Court ruled that quiz shows weren't gambling. They were tests of skill. So that's why you were allowed to have cash prizes on quiz shows.
That's interesting.
1954, there was a Supreme Court ruling that said that, it's not gambling, so it's okay.
That's very interesting. I didn't know that at all. Good work. So, let me tell you about a man called Herb Stemple. Do you know about this?
Very, very briefly, basically.
So Herb Stemple was a very, very clever man, and he went on a show called 21. And his astonishing Super Ray meant that he was unbeatable for 6 weeks in a row. The problem is, this is corporate capitalist America, and they were like, this guy's nerdy weirdness is just not selling, and it's affecting our ratings. And so basically, they found a professor from Columbia called Charles Van Doren, went, right, come on there, and we want to try and pit you against this guy, so hopefully you can beat him. And,
To get the nerdy weirdo out. On behalf of all contestants of Only Connect, I am horrified.
Yeah, so you should be. And the reason he was able to do this was because they fed him the answers.
Mm.
And he ended up winning $140,000.
Even more so is they had been feeding Herb Stemple. And they'd been feeding contestants before him. They did one episode that no one got any questions right. And their sponsors were like, this is terrible. You need to up your game with this quiz show. And then the producer, a guy called Dan Enright, basically plotted out the series. And this idea, they got this guy in Herb Stemple and made him look nerdy and weird. He called the host, it was Jack Barry was the host. They called him Mr. Barry rather than Jack. So he seemed quite humble and like all American and wholesome, and then he went on this amazing winning streak, and then the question was, would Herb win the $100,000? And then Charles Van Doren swoops in and took it away from him. So they're like, they'd like character arcs for these contestants
so
all the way around.
So basically professional wrestling, but via quizzing.
Completely. Like
Yeah.
It's completely that.
They've created these stories.
Anyone who's seen the film Quiz Show, it's this story.
Yeah. I knew that Stemple was also being fed the answers because he sort of revealed a big conspiracy, but I didn't realise they nerded him up as well.
Apparently Enright picked his clothes, slightly oversized suits, got his hair cut in a certain way, all of this stuff. But it was a big scandal. It was like a congressional
went all the way up to Congress. And Congress basically said that nothing illegal had occurred. But essentially after that, because the American TV watching public felt so cheated by it, quiz shows just disappeared from the airwaves.
Like, it was cancelled. Shows called Dotto, the $64,000 challenge, $64,000 question, Tic-Tac-Toe, they're all cancelled in the last few months of 1958. ITV cancelled their version of 21 as well.
Didn't it also emerge they'd been cheating on that?
One of the contestants suggested he'd been fed stuff as well. So the reason in the 70s and 80s that everyone's winning like washer dryers and sewing machines is because in 1960, the British government basically determined that you couldn't have a prize money on a quiz show beyond £1,000. And that was raised to 6,000 in 1981, 6,400 in 1990 because there was a British version of the $64,000 question. And then it was only eliminated in 1993. And after that's when you get millionaire and things like that. But yeah, for the longest time, that's why they gave away cars and things, because that was a way of giving away big prizes without actually giving money. Yeah.
And also because
the jet ski for the people who live in landlocked counties.
This is the whole reason why the TV show Jeopardy exists.
Really?
Yeah, so the original game show host of Jeopardy, a guy called Merv Griffin, was chatting with his wife, and they were getting on a plane back from New York, and he's sort of reviewing his notes for a new show he's developing. His wife basically says to him, well, why don't you just give them the answers and they've got to come up with the questions?
Yeah.
So I absolutely love that one of the greatest TV shows ever has got this really dark origin story. I mean, I'd love it if, like, Countdown also had that origin story as well somehow. But,
a murderer that only sort of modus operandi was leaving conundrums. The whole first series was just people desperately trying to figure out what it is they were just putting up.
It's the Zodiac Killer's game show.
My suggestion, though, for the World's Worst Quiz contestant is a gentleman called Michael Larson. So he was a part-time ice cream truck driver. And he spent a lot of time at home watching game shows over and over again. And the one in particular that he watched was one called Press Your Luck. And in it, a box spun randomly around a board and he stopped it with a buzzer to win whatever it landed on. And the catch was that a contestant could land on a whammy, which was basically a bankrupt square. And he discovered that the randomness was just the same five sequences over and over and over and over. So he basically went on there, having memorised the sequence, and came away having won $110,237.
Yeah, he noticed that two of the boxes just never had whammies in them, particularly. As well, like, I think it was box 4 and box 12, so he just timed it for when they were the ones that the light was surrounding.
They had to give him the money.
They split it over two episodes. They'd never had to do an episode, like, it was half an hour episode, they'd never had to worry about anything like that ever happening before. They did a cliffhanger at the end of the first half of it, going, you have to tune in next week to see, does Michael keep going?
Yeah, does Michael continue taking this tired old format to the fucking cleaners?
It is astonishing. I've watched have you watched the entire clip?
No.
Just keeps pressing the button and immediately celebrating because he knows he's won more money.
That should be well sus, shouldn't it?
It was because it was the early days of video recorders. So he bought a video recorder and just kept watching it back and watching it back. So, like, he cheated the system, but, like, as fair as you can.
Is that cheating or is that genius?
Yeah, the point of the game is to be able to stop the life when it's not on a whammy. I've learned how to do that.
Yeah, I guess so. And the thing I love of him is the way the story pans out.
Yeah.
Because he decided to invest it in $1 bills because there was a radio game show that had a $30,000 jackpot if you matched the serial numbers of the dollar bills that they read out on air, which is bizarre in the extreme. And what happened is one day him and his girlfriend went out to a party, leaving their house covered in plastic bags full of dollar bills, came back.
They'd been thumbing through looking for the serial number.
And a burglar had clearly broken in and gone, no, really? Oh, well.
I saw him on telly and assumed he'd bought some a new TV and maybe a microwave.
I'm assuming that the burglar who got to fill his bag full of $1 bills was wearing a blue and white stripy jumper and a mask.
Do you imagine he was like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare to, like, get changed at the bank?
Yeah.
Could he not have done it in 50s?
My gut instinct was to go with this guy, but considering your reaction, I'm going to go with a Spanish guy who messed up.
Well done, yeah, Alberto, who couldn't guess Captain America while wearing a Captain America t-shirt.
Do you know about Truth or Consequences, New Mexico?
No.
No, I know about Truth or Consequences, Colorado, but
well, New Mexico is an entirely different kettle of fish. So Truth or Consequences, New Mexico is a small town of about 6,000 people, and it used to be called Hot Springs.
Oh, it's not a TV show.
Well, it's a town.
Okay.
But in 1950, the host of a radio quiz show said that the first town to rename itself officially Truth or Consequences would get the 10th anniversary show of Truth or Consequences filmed there, which seems to me like an absolutely not worth it. Like, the amount of bureaucracy you must have to go through to rename your entire town Truth or Consequences, but 8 towns did it.
Wow.
But Truth or Consequences, New Mexico was the first. And so the prize they got, I don't remember what his name is that hosted it, but he came down and broadcast the 10th anniversary. And the town now, this was 1950, 2018, it is still called Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
One word or three different words?
It's three different words.
Is that hyphenated?
Nope.
I would love
like Newcastle upon Tyne. Truth or Consequences.
I would love it if Truth or Consequences was twinned with Horton Cum Studley and Western Supermare.
I've got some other things. So yeah, like you guys, I looked at sort of incompetent quiz contestants.
Lovely.
But the problem about them is they're not usually around long enough to be memorable.
Yeah.
You sort of see them, they do a funny answer, and then they're out.
Yeah. Which is, you're you You tend to, in quizzes, the people who are brilliant tend to endure a little bit more, Daphne Fowler or...
Judith,
who was the first... So these are all from Eggheads now, but Daphne won loads of quizzes. Judith was the first winner of the Million on Millionaire.
There's a guy called Kevin Ashman who is in quiz circles. Well. I'm going to the World Quiz Championships tomorrow, and he is talked about in hushed terms.
We might chat about him in a bit, funny enough.
Really? He's not your world's worst quiz contestant.
No.
The quizzing thing's incredible. Do you remember there was an amazing Derren Brown show on Channel 4 where he basically took Jimmy Average and taught him speed reading techniques.
Yes.
Essentially, just going down the middle page of encyclopedias with two fingers and all that, and then entered him into a proper quizzes pub quiz, and he won it.
Hmm.
That's completely new to me.
Just for a moment, you both look baffled and very angry.
Who is this?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's good. He did great. Yeah, I like that episode. I want to do that.
Yeah.
One day I'll learn all the capitals of the world, like your wife has done.
Yeah, and the flags. Don't forget the flags.
Oh, God, she knows the flags as
well. Oh, my boyfriend can do that. It's amazing, isn't it? It's slightly worrying that he just said, "What's the flag of Kiribati?" And he's like, "Well, it's red with a blue stripe on it." But he knows.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
My partner used to be you could name a year and I could tell you the winners of the four golf majors from that year, because golf is my sport. But I'm a little out of practice with it at the moment.
Yeah. If you name a year, I can tell you what number that year starts with.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Okay, the year the world ends.
Starts with the two, guys. I'm really sorry.
Ends with either an 8 or a 9. There was a couple on the £1 million drop that I thought were very interesting.
Were these the recent ones?
I think so. It went sort of viral on Twitter recently.
Yeah.
So they had a question about Justin Timberlake, and it was Justin Timberlake was given an award for saving what? And it was like the whales, the trees, the trouser snakes, or the, I don't know, sharks or something.
I think it was even more obvious. The environment.
Yes.
And then two very obviously not right answers. And trouser snake, which you're going completely wrong.
Obviously. But it's a joke answer. But then all they did, they didn't read the question. They just went, "Oh, he's the trouser snake," and just moved it all over. It was the first question. So they were just like moving all these heaps of money. And at no point did they go, "What was the question?" They just go, "Yeah, trouser snake.
It's really bad because there are a couple, and it's the girl in it is going, definitely. And the husband's like, "Are you sure?" Or the boyfriend, whoever he is, "You sure?"
Well, he clearly hasn't read the question either.
Yeah.
And you can see it's Davina McCall in the background going, "Oh my God, like I can't
she
say
She keeps
anything.
Reading it out really deliberately to try and make them hear what
saving?
They're doing.
So I think people,
it's the worst thing ever when you put £1 million on this trapdoor and it just plummets.
But all of my teachers at school said, "Read the question." Yeah. If you're still not doing that and there's £1 million at stake, you deserve what you get. Yeah.
I mean, I think for contestants like that, as well as having the trapdoor that the money falls away through, Davina McCall should just have an axe on a rope swing. Yeah. And if they mess up on the first question, just whoop,
and we could just push them in.
Shove them in with it. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then they might catch some of it on the way.
Well, no, but at the bottom is just a pit of trouser snakes.
So there's a couple of others. There was somebody on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Australia that didn't know that Thesaurus wasn't a dinosaur. And weirdly enough, dinosaur related note, someone called Hannah from The Chase didn't know who an Attenboroughsaurus was named after. Attenboroughsaurus.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Is that a dinosaur that went around making documentaries about all the other dinosaurs?
Just watching them have sex on
Yeah, and as we see here, the majestic... Do you mind? I'm trying to get my...
It was originally going to be called Dinosaur McDinosaur-y Face.
I feel like we shouldn't be cruel, though. I'm obligated to say that in the final of Only Connect, I forgot the name of an entire film that my sister directed and said it on the television. It was a picture one of sequences, so it was 50 First Dates, the second greatest Budapest hotel or whatever.
Second Grand Budapest. Oh, yeah. That was 51.
So then we'd be like, okay, so we need something for the fourth. And Frank said in my ear, "Is there a film called The Fourth Estate?" And I said, "I don't think so." And he said, "I think there is." And I said, "All right, Frank, you're the genius. We'll just take that." And so I'm on television saying, "I don't think that's a film." My sister directed that film. I heard nothing but things about that film from my sister for months. And about halfway through transmission, I said, "Look, Elizabeth, I'm sorry. There's something I've got to apologise to you for. It's coming up. I'm not going to tell you when, but it's coming up." And on the final, she missed it. She didn't even hear me say it.
Phew.
So then I had to really backtrack.
Nice.
But so you shouldn't be cruel.
That makes me feel a lot more... sympathetic towards people who I've shouted at on the television for fucking up a simple answer. Like, if you did that in the final of Only Connect, we're all fallible.
And we still won.
You did.
And you still won.
Yeah, so it was fine. Because the fourth estate said, like, is a film, and that's all they were asking for. They were asking who directed it. I'd have been out. So the worst quiz contestant I've got, I've gone down a list. When I was listening to previous podcasts, you've gone down different roads. So some people have been incompetent, some people have been evil.
Yeah.
I've gone for someone who I think incorporates both.
Lovely. Our favourites.
So this evil person is called John Cooper.
Uh-huh.
And he was on Bullseye in 1989, which we've already mentioned. It's a very nice, middle-of-the-road darts show with lovely ragtime music and cartoon ball and a speedboat to be won. So there's two people, one of whom's the darts one and one of whom's the questions one.
Right.
And in the first couple of rounds, someone answers questions and the person has to throw darts for a certain category. So the dartboard is divided into spelling, famous people, Britain, geography, things like that.
So if you're good at geography, you obviously want them to hit geography.
Yeah, and then you try, but then you have to answer the question whatever the dart hits in the end.
I see.
Then I think by the end, you have to try and get 100 points with 6 darts. And if you do that, then you win the grand prize.
Okay, good.
But it was that the non-dart player also has to throw.
Throw one of them or something, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, nice. So obviously if you accidentally stick one in Jim Bowen's eye, then you're out.
Probably out, yes. So by the time John Cooper was the darts playing member of the team in 1989, he'd already murdered 2 people.
Oh, Jesus Christ. With the darts?
Well, I don't think so. I think he bludgeoned them, which would be difficult to do with darts unless you used, I don't know, if you used the board. Pointy end.
The board, yeah.
We don't know that it wasn't the board.
Or the hockey, if you're feeling ambitious.
Or Eric Bristow.
So he'd already murdered 2 people. Yeah. Also turned out to be not very good at darts or question answering. So they were knocked out after the second round, right. I think. In the final of Bullseye, the winning couple get a chance to keep all their winnings or they can gamble it. And if they gamble it, then they have to get 100.
Yeah.
And if they get over 100, then they win all the prizes and the speedboat and money. The winning couple decided not to gamble, so John Cooper and his friend came back and lost the lot.
Oh, no.
So not only is he a murderer, he's also shit at darts. And
I really hope that was the eulogy at his funeral.
I really hope it was. So, and he's still alive.
Oh, is he? Oh, well. Well, so we know what to say then.
May 1989, he filmed Bill Die. June 1989, he went and killed 2 more people on a coastal path near where he lived.
Oof.
Yeah, he couldn't really deal with Jim Bowen patronising him anymore. He wasn't convicted until 2009, and he was jailed. Yeah, and part of the reason that he was jailed was because they could use stills from Bullseye to see exactly what he would have looked like at the time that he killed these people.
Yeah, of course.
And then they compared it with the witness statements.
Yeah.
And they were, like, the picture that the police sketch artist had drawn was exactly the same.
So Jim Bowen solved a double murder.
I mean, he absolutely did, yes. And he's also been convicted of sexual assault and robbery charges and all sorts of things. So he is an evil man who is shit at quiz, and he is my nomination.
That is an excellent candidate, I have to say. Very, very good. Lydia, you mentioned you're going to the World Quiz Championships tomorrow. Do you know your current ranking in the World Quiz rankings?
I do. Somebody told me the other day, my boyfriend's stepdad told me the other day.
Yeah, we are sitting in the company of the world's 635th best quizzer.
Am I?
Yeah, as of last night when I checked it.
No way.
Yeah, which is pretty impressive.
I thought I was lowest.
Yeah, no, you're pretty decent. Maybe Only Connect has bumped you up a few ranks.
Maybe that counts.
We have a bit of a way to go to catch Kevin Ashman, who is at the very top. Anyone who's ever watched Eggheads, Kevin from Eggheads, is the king of trivia, knows pretty much everything. He is astonishing. He's won the World Quizzing Championship 6 times. He's been runner-up 4 times and been third a couple of times as well. So that's pretty good going. Daphne from Eggheads as well is very impressive. We mentioned her earlier. She has an astonishing record of wins on quiz shows. She won Sale of the Century. She won Going for Gold. She was twice winner of 15-1 whole series. including in one appearance, she got all of the 40 questions in the final round correct.
Wow.
So the final round format of 15 to 1, if you remember, was three people. You had to buzz in, and the first person to get three questions right on the buzzer then got control, and they could have a question or nominate someone else to answer a question. She got the first three on the buzzer and just question all the way through. It's amazing to watch. She also won Brain of Britain and Mastermind. I've heard Nicholas Parsons tell the story of having someone on Sale of the Century who he asked, "What should people in glass houses not do?" and received the answer, "Take a bath."
I mean, not incorrect.
No, absolutely. Just not, I think, the question Nicholas not was expecting. Quite. Ryan Tuberty, the Irish TV and radio host, on his radio show once asked someone, and it was one of these, "Listen, we're pretty much giving you a prize" quizzes. Whereas in 1981, Henry Fonda won an Oscar for, I'm going to give you a clue, it was a film, it's an anagram of Pond on Golden. And the listener said, Golden Pond on?
Aww.
As opposed to On Golden Pond. Ben is still trying to figure this out. Hang on, should I do this Jeopardy style?
Yeah.
Okay, the answer is On Golden Pond, Ben.
Right, what film did Henry Fonda win an Oscar for in 1981?
Excellent.
Nailed it, and also moral integrity.
Have a Scooby snack.
Thank you.
Similarly, on Chris Moyles' radio show, he once asked, what S is a kind of whale that grows to 80 tons? Again, I'll give you a clue. It begins with S, remember, and it rhymes with perm. Is it shark, Chris? on Pointless, this went viral, I think, last year. This girl called Sarah was on, and for listeners who haven't watched Pointless, it's brilliant. It's like Family Fortunes or Family Feud, but in reverse, where you have to try and give uncommon answers.
It's my favourite thing of all time.
It's great. And you play in a duo, and so one person is answering, the other person has to stand, not saying anything behind them. And Sarah was asked to name a country that ends in two consonants. Can you think of one off the top of your head there, Ben?
Denmark.
That'll do. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Sarah, bless her, thought that a country that ends in two consonants, maybe Paris is a good answer to give.
Oh, that's wrong from every angle.
So many. That is exactly what Richard Osman said. He said, yeah, of course, Paris, city, not a country, and doesn't end in two consonants. But other than that, brilliant.
Is that the one where her friend was absolutely
the
furious?
Most epic eye roll you have ever seen behind her shoulder.
That friendship is over. It's so over. Like, that poor... I felt for both of them, really.
Oh, her friend is... makes no attempt to disguise it. No, it's making an attempt to disguise your contempt if the disguise is a massive wacky mustache and sunglasses. my last one I wrote down of these was from The Chase on ITV. Bradley Walsh asked a contestant called Jack to name the only planet in the universe known to support life.
That'd be Earth.
Correct, Ben. And not, as Jack suggested, Mars. Bless him, though. Bless you, Jack, holding his breath through his entire life. do you know the origin of the word quiz? Go on, tell the story.
It was a bet between two people in a pub that one of them could invent a new word and have it in use within a month or a year. I can't remember what the time frame was.
Yeah.
And he just went round and wrote quiz everywhere. He just wrote quiz on, he just decided quiz was going to be the new word. And he just put it on walls and in pubs and in the shops and everywhere. So people would start saying, well, what's this quiz?
Yeah.
And then it just, that's the story.
Victorian gentleman? It feels like a Victorian.
1791, apparently. It happened. Richard Daly, who was the own manager of a theatre in Dublin. It's probably not true, let's be honest. For one thing, the first accounts of it don't appear until 44 years later of this story. Not only that, but the word quiz appears in people's diaries about 10 years before this story is meant to have taken place. And in a London magazine in 1783, that's 8 years before, a quiz is one who thinks, speaks, or acts differently from the rest of the world in general. So it was thought to be sort of an oddball, is used as a word for an oddball at the time. Not only that, but things called quizzing glasses existed before this as well, which were those handheld monocles. You know, the monocles that have the little, like the thing you hold at the side of your face to look at things up close.
Oh, sorry, I thought quizzing glasses was something you drunk out of, which is where pub quizzes came from.
Yes, of course, we all know that's the truth.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, let's talk about Major Charles Ingram, shall
we?
Yeah.
people who are in London running in the West End at the moment, there's a play called Quiz about the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire coughing major scandal, as it's known, incorrectly, of course, because he isn't the one doing the coughing. Very briefly, if people don't know this story, a guy called Charles Ingram, who was a British Army major, appeared on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in a broadcast in about September 2001, won the million. And very shortly afterwards, there was this whole fallout that actually he was being fed the answers, so to speak, from one of the other people sitting in the fastest finger first chairs around the outside, who would cough when Charles said the correct answer. He'd read the questions out loud and do his thinking out loud. And this guy called Tekwin Whittock, which is the stupidest name ever, would cough. They were judged guilty, but there's people still aren't entirely sure. He still denies his any truth to it. The major claim was that Tekwin had a very bad cough his entire life and just could cough at any time. But the classic clip is when he's asked, which European city did Baron Haussmann have a very big part in redesigning? And he's going, Haussmann, sounds very German. Could be Berlin. Berlin is one of the four answers. Yes, could be Berlin. No coughing. Could be Berlin. Because I'm pretty sure it's not Paris. I think it's Paris, Chris. It's the worst U-turn you've ever seen.
There's one point during that question where he goes, well, maybe it is Berlin, and you can hear, no!
Yes, there is a very obvious
really?
No. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And Tekwin Whittock's excuse was that he was sort of saying it to himself.
Yeah, yeah.
As you do
on a live recording. Yeah.
When I'm at a quiz, I always tell myself the answers before I write them down.
After the fallout from the thing, Charles and Diane, she's a jewellery designer or something. He's appeared on various reality TV shows. They've been done for insurance fraud.
Lovely.
And my favourite fact from his Wikipedia page was that in 2010, Charles sliced off three toes with a lawnmower.
Oh, Christ.
His own toes, it should be said.
Yeah, it's very important to know that. They feel like the world's worst dinner party guests alongside the Hamiltons.
Yes. By the way, I didn't know this. Did you know that both Tekwin Whittock, obviously he was in this Fast Finger First, he did appear on the show as well. And Diana Ingram, Charles's wife, appeared on the show.
And her brother,
yeah.
Her brother was a weird obsessive. I started looking into him because he was very, very obsessed with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Mm. He called 1,700 times to get on.
Yeah.
Won 32,000, lost on the 64,000. In order to get on, he advised Charles Ingram to do what he had done, which was when the random selector is on the phone with you, to speak to it in a computer voice because they thought that it was weeding out certain accents.
Ah.
So when it said, is the answer A, B, C, or D? He would go, it is A. And that's how people got on.
Because they were trying to find a wide demographic of contestants,
I guess,
or whatever.
So, yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to defend Charles Ingram and say they couldn't possibly be in league with him, you could look at the questions that Diana Ingram and Tekwin Whittock got wrong on their appearances on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Diana Ingram... they appeared in April 2001. She appeared in April 2001, around the same time that Tekwin Whittock also appeared. So that's apparently when they got to know each other. She lost her money, or she didn't go beyond the 32,000, but she tried the 64,000 quick question, which was asking her, who wrote The Hunting of the Snark? Yeah, she didn't know that Lewis Carroll was the author of The Hunting of the Snark, which, again, I mean...
I didn't know
some
that.
People won't know, but if you've got four answers up there and you've got Hilaire Belloc was one of them and Edward Lear and then Lewis Carroll, if you're a quizzer... who you would imagine would be the people you'd be in league with when you're trying to cheat on a quiz show.
Yeah.
You'd hope they'd know the answers to that question. Whittock won £1,000 because he didn't get, I think it was the £8,000 question correct. I think he got a slightly trickier question wrong, but he did ask the audience to check whether Jabba the Hutt was a character from the Star Wars franchise. Aww.
He doesn't deserve anything. Never mind the coughing. If you don't know that basic piece of cultural information.
Yeah. I also looked a little bit at University Challenge before I get to my... my candidate. In 1964, University Challenge had a special episode where they pitted New College Oxford against their lecturers from New College Oxford. Director Peter Mullings said that the lecturers took so long listening to the question going, this is the question I've been asked. I shall have a think about it. I think this is the answer, that by the time they got around to wanting to buzz in, the students had already buzzed and were halfway through their bonus questions. And the lecturers were walloped 250 points to 50.
Wow.
But my candidate for the World's Worst Quiz contestant is Arthur Wynne Hughes. So, in 1989, Arthur Wynne Hughes appeared on Mastermind, the iconic British quiz show. Again, for listeners who aren't from this country, you get four contestants. Each one of them sits in the iconic black chair, 3 minutes of questions on your specialist subject, and then you each come back to the chair for 3 minutes on general knowledge. Arthur was a grammar school art teacher, and so against producer's advice, he chose as his subject Impressionist and Post-Impressionist Painting 1830 to 1914.
Whoa, that's a bit of a big subject.
If you're a grammar school art teacher, though, Ben, you'd imagine you've got quite good knowledge of Impressionist paintings. In fact, that is why he picked it, because he was an expert in this field.
Okay.
He specifically wanted to do Toulouse-Lautrec, but that had already been done. And despite the producer saying, try not to do something that's like actually your job because it can be a little bruising if you get questions wrong or whatever, he went, no, I'll do impressionist and post-impressionist paintings. It's fine. They did a dress rehearsal in the afternoon, as you often do for TV shows, and he won it by 4 points. Great.
Great.
When that music starts to play, Approaching Menace, the theme tune to Mastermind.
Is that its name? Called.
Yeah.
And, great fact.
And stony-faced Icelandic world's strongest man, Magnus Magnusson, sits in the chair opposite you. The very first question that Arthur faced when he came up for his special subject round was, name the critic who coined the word impressionist. We won't know, but if you're an expert in this field who's chosen as your subject impressionist and post-impressionist paintings, chances are you might know who coined the word impressionist. He got it wrong. And what followed was what Magnus Magnusson described as a pass spiral, as he passed upon passed and was, as you guys will know, in Mastermind, the number of passes count against you in the event of a tie at the end. Something like it was probably double figures in terms of the passes he gave. And he just got into one of those black holes where he couldn't extricate the knowledge from his brain. And again, people at home are watching this going, I wouldn't know any of these answers. But this is a guy who is an art teacher and this is his special subject. And over 3 minutes, he got 5 questions right.
Mm.
His final score in the entire program was 12. In third place, they had 22 points. The winner had 28. He was pilloried in the press. They had horrible headlines about him, calling him a dunce.
Oh, no.
Even worse, he went back to school, and as they passed him in the corridor, his kids would hum. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh.
And any time they'd ask him, he'd ask them a question in school, in class, they'd just go, pass.
Aww.
It's so sad. He retired the following year due to all of the pressure that he faced. But it has a happy ending of sorts. In 2003, 14 years later, he appeared on the very last ever episode of 15 to 1 hosted by William G. Stewart. William G. Stewart had at that point probably asked close to 350,000 questions over all of the episodes he'd appeared on. Ninth on the overall series leaderboard was Arthur Wynne Hughes,
hey,
putting him into the final episode with 14 other contestants. And he didn't win, sadly, in the complete Hollywood ending, but he did make it to the second round, so he finished in the top sort of 8 or 10 on the
Good.
Last ever series of 15 to 1. So our candidates this week for the world's worst quiz contestant are Ben's suggestion of hapless Alberto, the Captain America oblivious contestant on Spanish quiz show Ahora Caigo, Lydia's suggestion of quadruple murderer and poor darts player John Cooper, and my suggestion of Arthur Wynne Hughes, the hapless art teacher who was overwhelmed on Mastermind. Good suggestions, but I'm not going to pick a poor art teacher who just had a bad day or a man who clearly needs to re-examine his wardrobe over a quadruple murderer.
Yeah, listen, we brought on a champion and someone brought their A game to this party today.
Absolutely.
I bought different coloured gel pens, listeners. Can I also have an honourable mention?
Go for it,
Simon
yeah.
Cowell.
Oh, yeah, he appeared on Sale
of
the Century, didn't he?
He was on Sale of the Century. He was described as a record company director who was a keen go-karter. He won £20 worth of kitchen utensils, but I think he is a egotistical megalomaniac, so I would like to nominate him.
That's absolutely fair.
That's the end of my research.
I mean, if you brought him in earlier, we might have beaten John Cooper there.
Well,
quadruple murderer, Simon Cowell.
Oh, it's a hair's breadth away, isn't it?
I was so keen to talk about a serial killer that I forgot to mention Simon Cowell, who's the next worst thing.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Now, I have managed to bring up my favourite connection question. So I want to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God, Lydia's eyes just
lit
up. So, Barry and Lydia, tell me what connects Kermit the Frog, Jane Mansfield, the comedians Cannon and Ball, and filmmaker Tim Burton.
Are they all left-handed?
Nope.
All Muppets are left-handed.
Are they?
Yeah, because most puppeteers are right-handed, so they do the head with the right hand, and so they're doing the hands
That's
with the left.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it would be because that all the Muppets are naturally creative. Or they're emissaries of Satan.
Who was the last one?
So it's Kermit the Frog, Jane Mansfield, Cannon and Ball, and Tim Burton.
Tim Burton. Difficult partners.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, if you're married to Cannon and Ball...
Oh. Have they all turned on the Blackpool lights?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the mark of a champion right there.
That's amazing. It's, well done.
Apart from being beheaded, yes, the only thing I know about Jane
right.
Mansfield.
I was reading an article about her recently. I didn't know. She's Mariska Hargitay's mother as well. Who's
have
in
you seen the picture of her doing it?
Oh, yeah. She's like in the north there. Wearing the most impractical north dress ever.
And the mayor
ever.
Of Blackpool is like...
Yes, looking with her breasts out again.
Amazing.
Good question, Ben.
Thanks.
Before we go, I should give you my world's worst news of the week. This comes from the Mirror, as often I go to. Transavia flight from Schiphol to Gran Canaria was diverted to Faro this week after a man's body odour became too much for passengers to bear.
Oh, no.
According to some people, he smelt like he hadn't washed in weeks. And shortly after takeoff, passengers began to faint and vomit. Such was the stench of the passenger. Staff tried to quarantine him in a toilet to try and contain the smell. And when they landed at Faro, he was removed by both ground staff and medical staff.
Oh, dear. God. Please tell me they were in hazmat suits. They did
they
it.
Could. Transavia, weirdly enough, in February, also had to divert a flight from Dubai to Amsterdam. It stopped in Vienna instead when a man's farting led to a brawl on board the flight.
I did not expect that sentence to end that way.
They've just got a problem with their in-flight meals or something.
Yeah. Maybe there's something in it, yeah. Before we go, Lydia, where can people find out more about you and follow you and all of that stuff?
I am on Twitter at Lydia Mizon, which is LYDIAMIZON, all one word. You will see me next in one or two projects that I'm not allowed to talk about on the air. And you can find me wandering around Cambridge or Leicestershire looking a bit lost.
Mm. And the Only Connect final is still on their website. I think they've got one episode still online and it's the final.
And they're all uploaded elsewhere semi-legitimately.
Enjoy! Meanwhile, we're all off to try and whammy Ben's approaching menace. Thank you for listening to Worst Foot Forward. Goodbye. Lovely. Oh, that was so much fun. I loved that episode so much.
Yeah.
And thank you to previous podcast Keir Shields for suggesting Lydia to us, or suggesting the show to Lydia,
yes,
which we then noticed in our replies on Twitter and led us to getting in touch with her. And she very enthusiastically and kindly said yes to doing the show. And it was a delight.
Yeah.
Really nice.
If you have someone who you think is an expert in their field, who you think will be a good guest on this show, please send them our way. Because, listen, we've still got a deep well of people that we know who should be on, or people who we don't know who we'd love to have on, but we think you've probably got some good suggestions as well.
Please visit our website, www. Does anyone bother the WWs anymore? HTTPS. Please visit our website, worstfootforwardpodcast.com. You can find all of our previous episodes, photos, the blog, which I'm about to write an update for this weekend as well. I'll probably update you on what we'll put a countdown clock on for when Ben's baby arrives. Ben's baby, as of recording this outro, has still not arrived. So chances are this is the week it's due.
Yeah, and next week, join us for World's Worst Midwife. No, no, absolutely not.
You can also find us on Twitter at WorstFoot. Ben is at Ben Vandeveld. I'm at BazMaxDay. You can still find us on Facebook if you look up Worst Foot Forward. And send an email to worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com. Plus, as always, Ben, beg for stars. Go on.
Oh, yeah.
Up on your hind legs.
please, you will know the magic of podcasting algorithms is that the more stars and reviews we get on iTunes and Stitcher and the like, the better we do, the more visible we are, and the more reason that we have to continue with this. Let's try an experiment. Everyone who hears this, immediately go on iTunes and leave a review and see what it does to our algorithm. And you know what? If you're sat there going, I've already done my duty and led for a review. If you love this show enough, start up a new email account. Use it to log into iTunes and leave an extra review on there. Let's hack the system, guys. We're going to be the Cambridge Analytica of podcasts.
I'm going to plug something. I'm going to play in London as of next week. On Monday the 11th is the first preview of a show called Libby's Eyes at the Bunker Theatre in London Bridge, which is about living with blindness in a country where the government thinks a one-size-fits-all policy is appropriate. So if you're but it's funny too. If you're looking for a bit of theatre, and it's a nice convenient location, we're on Mondays and Thursdays from the 11th of June For 4 weeks, so the Mondays and Thursdays from then on. So that's 8 shows, 8 chances to come see it. If you don't know me and you have listened to the podcast and you come, do come up and say hello afterwards, as Ben will tell you. It's nice when people come up and say they listen to the show.
Yes, it is.
And to put faces to those Twitter eggs.
Well, 2 things. Next week, I might be a dad. And more importantly, we've got one of our best friends in the world coming to do a long-anticipated episode by us.
Once cancelled previously podcast.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that on the actual show, because yeah. I'm going to be getting it in the neck for that.
Yeah.
It is archaeologist, historian, and very funny comedian Paul Duncan McGarrity. And we're going to be talking about the world's worst night with a K.
Yeah, Paul hosts the podcast Ask an Archaeologist. So if you want to hear an archaeologist delve back in time with 2 inept sidekicks, basically the short rounds to his Indiana Jones. I'll be short and you can be round.
Done.
Worst Foot Forward is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. For episode archives of Worst Foot Forward and all of the shows on the network, visit us at www.podnose.com. You can also follow us on Twitter via @podnose or send us an email via admin@podnose.com.